Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Forever Jones with He Wants It All. Welcome to the second hour of the show, and the very last, actually, for Monday's Spectrum. And as you know, the second hour is purely dedicated to Father's Matter. Now, as a person who grew up with father issues, you know, I don't think there is one topic that hits, so hard. Well, not bitterly anymore, but I'm a huge advocate for the presence of fathers in a child's life, not just a girl child, because I know it's often in a girl child's life, but then you find there's gaps in a boy child's life. Nonetheless, without yapping much, we've got a new voice today. We have a new resident on the show, and Bob Jeff Cele. Now, I must tell you now, Bob Jeff, before you even say hi to me, so that you know, I mean, I don't have first name basis. Now, I'm feeling now, Bob Jeff. So, I've got Bob Jeff Cele from Hotlines with me. Good afternoon and welcome to the show.
Good afternoon to you, Luko, and
how
the listeners.
Are you?
I'm good. I'm good, 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 good. God is good.
God is purely good.
Yeah,
I'm so glad to have you with us today. Like I said, Bob Jeff is coming from Hotlines. If you don't know who they are, Hotlines is an NGO that uses the power of story to address social issues to inspire positive behavior change. Fathers Matter is an initiative of Hotlines that seeks to promote the active, positive presence of fathers and father figures in the lives of children. Now, as the world commences 16 days of activism today against gender-based violence, starting today, we shine a spotlight on why fathers matter in this conversation. And, to start off this hashtag Beyond 16 Days conversation and how to make meaningful change in eradicating GBV, I am so glad we have a man to do it. You know, as much as gender-based violence is not gender-specific, you know, we're talking about that with the Mamfikile, but let's have an honest conversation, Bob Jeff, to say, who's the majority that's always on the other end of the stick? It's males.
It's males.
You know, it's males. It's males. And I think that's why I'm saying it's beautiful to hear another man say, not in my name.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen in my name. So thank you so much for joining us, Baba, today.
Thank you.
And
thank you for
make
me.
Yourself comfortable.
I'm good.
So like we said, today marks the 16 days of activism, the start of 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. Now, while 16 days is clearly not enough to end the scourge in the world, and specifically here in South Africa, why do you think this period is so important?
Sure. Luko, this period is very, very, very important. And I thank you for to do this session today as we go into this time. And that's why we say it's Father's Matter, hashtag beyond 16 days. Because it's not about the 16 days. Yes, it actually brings a message home. But we're talking here about to conscientize. You don't do it for a short period of 16 days. Because we live for more than that.
Out of 366 days.
366.
Imagine.
And let's to raise the flag and say there's a red flag here. As a nation, as a people, let's raise this flag. What's going on? But also, why do we do this? To let the perpetrators says, call. Now we are here. It's about this thing should end and should stop here right now. Because we are concerned, and then we're saying not in our names. But also it requires us to sit down and grapple with this issue, go beyond. And we require deeper initiatives, a stronger and longer focuses that sort of continues to say, we are in this together. We don't want this. We want that. And it can't be 16 days only. That's why we say hashtag.
And it's a matter of saying, even for the 340 days, Sila.
Let's do this.
I love the sound of that.
Yeah, but we're also saying we must just to continue to challenge the levels of this gender-based violence. Look, I usually say it's imbi.
It is.
This thing is bad. This thing is ugly. We don't need something like this to be waving something in our lives, around our lives, around our communities, and we need to do something about it. Definitely.
And I think oftentimes, you know what saddens me about Jeff is the fact that it's at the hands of those who promise to love you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it happens, randomly,
there and there.
On the streets, but the majority, you find it's those who have promised to protect you, those who have promised to love you.
And that's why we say you need to continue to speak out,
to
strongly advocate, continue advocating, working for justice, protecting our children. Because, it happens to those we trust.
True.
When they say, let's go around the corner, I want you to go and get blah, 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 blah.
You know?
It's the Uncle Jeff that you know, not a stranger.
Exactly.
Because we are taught well about strangers. We know how to run away from strangers. But Uncle Jeff, next to my face, who give me sweets, and that's the challenge we have.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So maybe let's talk about this. Why do fathers matter in this conversation in particular?
Well, blessed are the peacemakers.
Okay.
Yeah, as Letenu Tula, I mean, this is violence to somebody's life. What they want is peace. And the truth is, there are many gender GBV intervention, but most of them focus on we react.
True.
When something has happened, we make the noise, we shout.
We only react because now things have gone wrong.
Something is happening. There's a noise somewhere. But how do we sit down and say, not this? Let's address the root of this. And that's why I heard early this morning in one of the media stations, they were talking about the root causes need to be challenged to the core.
True.
So that when something comes up like this, the question was, Naguma marriage counseling, what are we saying, we need to go to some of those sites and talk about what are we saying to people.
Yeah.
And then as fathers, as brothers, as uncle, what are we saying to the little younger boys and younger girls as they grow? How do we make sure that we bring a generation that is clean as far as this is concerned in their heads?
That is
because
so true.
As for me, Lukomankula, I saw this happening. It said to me, it's normal. One day I'll grow up and have a wife or whoever. Then
they discipline them.
Discipline them.
That's what we call it, to make it seem
them.
And sound better.
It comes from a greeting, Lukongeskiti. Back at home, they'll say, Tatutele banjana bandwana, including my wife. Mdan.
Sabandan is not just referring to the children.
No, it also says, how are the children? That includes my wife.
Sure.
It gets nailed
in one psych to say, I'm dealing with a child here.
Every child must be disciplined whenever something wrong happens, according to my interpretation. And we are not a couple that says, Stando, something has gone wrong.
Yes.
How do we speak to this so that this doesn't show again? I don't like it when you. And
true.
Then we move forward. That's what I'm saying also in our counseling sessions. What are we saying? What are we teaching?
How are we interpreting this partnership, this, you know, couplehood?
And I'm saying, Luko, sometimes it says every male can have a child. To be a father is an office. It's a department that has the do's and don'ts. In many of our black cultures, especially in South Africa, even other races, when we go to something like the mountain, these are the things that we taught. Even if ungakayina in the Bible, but people are taught in their life. This you do, but you don't do. And how much are we investing into that? And so that these guys, as guys, would know, this is an office. It has got compartments, as it sometimes I'm a prophet in this house or in this relationship. I'm a priest. I must lead. Lead is not control.
True. If you were to understand the exact office you hold.
That's it.
It's not for control. It's not for bullying. But it's a leadership.
And when you challenge them and say, Luko, don't do this. This is my child. After all, who are you? So, yes, it's your child. But this position, it's an office with particular expectations for you to run it for future.
True.
Not only for now, but for them as well.
True.
To know that one day when I'm an elderly dada or mama, this is how I lead me. This is how I lead my life and those that look up to me.
Sure.
And are we missing on those critical points?
Sure. This is really interesting. Actually, you know, Babji, if I was thinking the other day, was it this morning or yesterday? I was just randomly thinking how you spoke of culture. And for instance, those that have gone to the mountain.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're familiar with this, a situation where, you know, the child's coming back from the mountain and there's a celebration.
Yeah.
I sat and I thought to myself of the examples as parents we set for our children. You know how, oftentimes Christians would be ridiculed for choosing not to have alcohol in those celebrations.
Sure.
And I sat and thought to myself, how we normalize abnormal things.
That's it.
Because in essence, what you're doing is you're introducing your child to the culture of alcoholism. And so when Christians decide, no, I'm not introducing my child to manhood and celebrating their return and their survival by introducing them to alcohol. Then you ridicule Christians for that. I sat and I thought to myself, even if you're not Christian, think you should actually reconsider this thing of celebrating them using alcohol. Imagine what you're investing in your child's life to say, hey, you're older now, alcohol is cool.
I mean, added to that, Luko, today, and from last week already, a couple of matriculants are finishing up on their last papers. If you can see what's happening, this is the celebration says alcohol.
But
alcohol,
is it not because we've taught our children that adulthood
is
freedom to alcohol? Do you get it?
I mean, imagine, look, a scenario is given back in the days, it continues to. When we have these kind of problems in GBV, it's like we see that people are falling. Imagine a mountain, a cliff. When people continue to fall over this dangerous cliff, and instead of coming up with a fence that will stop people from falling, Tina, we organize ambulances to wait at the bottom of
cliff.
So as long as they fall, the survivors we take to the doctor.
Those who don't survive, we reconsider.
Well, yeah.
Instead of just stopping the fall.
Look, it becomes statistics. How many? Now, survivors, ambulance. So bring another ambulance.
What an example.
And we say, church, we need to start building fences up on the cliff and say, no more. No more. How do we save one, two, three, and no more? Come to a point where we say we don't want this to happen. And about that, asking about daddy to bring a sense that says we want to be represented. And then this is how we want to pass on a legacy that teaches young men and women to self-respect and then give the same respect to the other. But it's those things that we continue need to doing at all times.
That example hit me so hard. It hit me so hard, Jeff, because I'm thinking, imagine if as a dad, Mdanam, I protected you before you got to that point. And when I say dad, I am speaking to every man that wants to father. Like Umam Upoka would say, you know, it's not just the biological ones.
Yeah.
It's the social ones as well.
Yeah.
So instead of waiting for us at the bottom of the cliff on whether we've survived or not, you prevent us from being injured.
And part of the research with Heartlines, they say when the daddies are positively involved in the lives of these young people, it prevents a number of things. These are good preventative measures. They decrease of risk to being victims of violence or be perpetrators of violence and many other things, because you are strong in your mind. You know who whose you are and who you are.
Yeah.
And where you are going to. But at times, we find ourselves being involved or be victims of these things because of the in me.
Yeah.
Has never been strengthened. There's never been, you know.
That's so true.
Those are the challenges we're facing. And we're saying, not in my name. We need to change this.
In the very same breath, you know, Bob Jeff, you're being so true in this. Recently, I think, not even recently, a couple of months ago, there was a TV program. I don't know if you know it. It used to nab on pastors predating on children, and then it moved generally to men. Yeah, I just don't want to mention the name of the program. And in one of them, Uma Maumtana, the child's mother, says he took advantage. This is a neighbor who raped her daughter. She says, he took advantage because he knows there is no man in my household to stand up to him.
Sure.
So I really hope and pray that even when fathers choose or decide to be absent, they know that your child might not be safe. Because if you showed up more in that neighborhood to show, which, you know what, I'll jump any day for my child. There is no neighbor that's going to take advantage of that.
Exactly.
Because they know, which, should this child's dad show up?
Yo.
That's what the story interprets for me. To say, I would never take chances because this child has a present father.
There's a present father there.
She might be scared to tell her mom, but she'll tell her dad because she knows her dad will cover her.
Should this man find out?
You know?
But also, you're saying beyond even the father in the house, Luko, how many, there are many children out there without fathers.
Mm-hmm.
That's why, under this process, the flagship year Fathers Matter, we are calling on father figures as well.
Father figures.
Social fathers in the block, the same street, at church, at school, so that people should know that, should I touch Jeff at 14 years old?
Babu Dlamini from that block will come running.
No, Babu Mkhize will come. And if Mkhize can shout, everybody will come.
The whole community will come.
These are the social fathers who are saying, this is our community. We are intentional about this community. So if there's no father, we are saying, social fathers, let's stand up.
Let's step up.
That's part of the fence to build on top of the cliff there. So these young people don't become victims or prey to these situations.
Wow, I really love the work you guys are doing. So how do we then go about, Bab Jeff, building stronger fences when it comes to GBV prevention?
Look, one, we are saying we can break the intergenerational cycles of violence in families. There's this notion in other families where, like we were saying earlier, to beat up somebody is part of the norm.
In
the house, you can beat them up and then it's over, we move on in life, and we say that, let's build that kind of a fence and start saying no. We need to teach our boys that courage and crying goes together, can work hand in hand. Crying doesn't mean you don't have courage, you're weak. You are still strong. You are allowing space for yourself to say, I did not like this. I want to respond like this to this. And it shouldn't be in inverted commas and say, if you cry, it means you're weak. You're not doing well. And we need to teach our boys that courage and crying can go together. And then our young men or boys are more likely to get into these risky, destructive situations. I was just thinking early this morning, if I don't know how it came to my mind, looking at him, if the vision, Gasatane, is to kill, steal, and destroy, he then would plant that mentality in many other people.
Yes.
If you don't love self, you then assume a vision of kill, steal, destroy. At times you know, at times you don't know. But now, how do we teach these young people to run away from these kind of behaviors?
From entertaining that vision of enemy. It.
And also, even the young women, we must teach them more, who are, because they might be prone or be opened up to being abused. It's normal. When he beats me, it means he loves me. Change that mentality. We also want to encourage them to embrace positivity, lasting change, so that they're not doing it for themselves. We're doing it for ourselves, but for anybody who's looking up to us, or anybody want to give birth to in future, when that's, you have our own families, it becomes a lifestyle that we just breed. We become a better people in everything we do.
You know, Bob Jeff, you just made mention of something. I was so traumatized last week. I saw a picture, I saw a picture of a lady, well, not really, just a picture, it was a screenshot of a conversation between boyfriend and girlfriend, I believe. And girlfriend's face was disfigured. She was beat up. But in this conversation, I really just want us to, I know oftentimes, we think people are victim blaming. Of course, we'll always place the blame on the abuser. But be that as it may, there's a role we need not play. The role of covering abusers.
Yes.
In the conversation, she is pretty much saying to him, look at how better I look now. But Mina, I'm seeing her face is still bloody. And I'm just like, Haibo, how better, what better is this?
Yeah.
You know? And he then says to her, but please don't tell people that, you know, I beat you up. Maybe say you had an accident. But you know, it was that bad that it looked as if she had had an accident.
Sure.
You know, it really was that bad.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he even knows to try and twist her mind to say, let's say it's an accident, I'll make up for it. She says, no, don't worry, I'm healing, babe. Don't worry, I'm getting better. And I looked at this and I thought, it's because she really has been abused. And you know, a friend of mine said something a couple of years ago, Baba Wati. The problem is we look at physical abuse as the result and the destination. He says, the problem with most physically abused people, especially women, is because the issue started in the mind.
Yes.
You are wanting to say run away if you're being physically abused.
Abused.
But the thing is, she's already been conquered in the mind.
Sure.
She does not see her alive apart from this abuser.
It started a long time ago.
And he says, he started with the, I don't wear that dress. Hey, don't do this. And he said, as much as it's important for you to have these conversations with your partner and you're able to share to say, hi, babe, you know, it doesn't look that appropriate.
Yeah.
He says, but at the end of the day, the problem is this beast is being fed the moment he keeps having these opinions on your life.
Yeah.
And eventually, he physically abuses.
Sure.
By then, she does not know what power she has. She moves towards the direction that he wants. If he says, ushawe imoto, then ushawe imoto, okay, now you believe it. Because you know the power he already holds over your mind.
She's owned.
Mm-hmm. So basically, what we're saying is, when it begins, even if it's mental, know when to choose yourself.
Move.
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 Sure.
Because you don't know that the physical is coming.
It's bound to come.
It will, eventually.
That's power. As soon as power is like that, anybody is prone to begin to do beyond.
So that's what you're speaking to when you say, ladies, when it begins, don't allow it.
No.
Don't fight back.
Naughty girls, they say, no, but he loves me.
You know?
It's just there.
And you begin to open up that gate for him to keep pouncing and pouncing.
And
pouncing.
What's more? What's more?
Yeah. All right. So tell us also about Jeff. Do you think we're doing enough as the church, as Christian communities? And I want to add on this, but I really, really want to.
Yes.
I can't remember who I had a chat with. It was on air one of these days. And he said, the problem is we want to be harsh about some conversations because we think they don't affect us.
Right.
As the church.
Right.
Because to assume that there'll be no abuser inside your church doors is a huge miss. Because you've ministered to them.
It's a big
because
miss.
They've said, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
It's a big miss.
And
are we doing
and
enough?
To start with, we are part of South Africa. We are church and we are part of... We are here. This is us.
Yes.
Now, if there's GBV, it's us.
It's us.
Whether you're doing it physically, but that's you. That's us. Mm-hmm. And the challenge is I've seen with us as a church, we always, well, South Africans do that. But as a church, because we belong to, we are part of South Africa, we react to situation. We wait for things
to happen,
to show up, then we want to answer or come up with a solution. We never sit down and say, how do we do this? There's an elephant in the room.
A huge one.
We don't mention LGBTQ plus. What do we say as a family? Because Luko would say that, Jeff would say that, and then you hear people saying, "I'll go ekaweni yaga sbanbani, but not to sbanban."
Okay.
Yet we are serving the same God.
Okay.
In the room, there's a challenge. I spoke about fathering earlier. When you say fathering, it's not just every male will have a child if they want to or they can. But fathering is a space. It's an office. Talking to a group of leaders at Anglican on Saturday, the pastor there says, the only time I've ever spoken about marriage is when somebody's getting married.
Okay.
Or there's a problem. We never sat down and taught the church about marriage.
About marriage besides these events.
For me, these topics, they are topics. GBV, let's talk to these things.
Let's address them.
Let's address them. Let's open them up. Number one, we are never intentional about these things. Number two, we never design appropriate programs or approaches that are welcoming. I'm always quoting the old wristband we had here, Rabbi. It used to say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say or do now? And it should be said by us. What is his word and what is his way in stopping this GBV thing? How do we lead ourselves so that we can conscientize others, bring them closer to what the gospel is saying? So an advice from our action faith, that this thing is a sin. GBV is a sin.
It's a sin.
It's a sin.
It is.
And some back in the days, we sit kibela phezukwendlu.
Okay.
Let's do that. Let's shout. Shout it out and say, "Lenta ifuneki." We don't need this.
I'm glad you're making mention of that, Baba, because oftentimes, and I've noticed, I can tell you many stories where there's been a case of GBV in the church, and I'm telling you, even Abo Mama will say, "Hlala phezu kwayo," you know, fix the issue. You don't allow the enemy. Do you get my point? Why? Because also, and as much as we need to protect the dignity and the face of the church, we need not to accommodate and harbor criminals.
That's it. And it says that where does it pushes us, Nanjoloko, to us misinterpreting scripture to fit whatever you want to fit in so that you're accepted by 1, 2, 3. And some of the, I'm leading a committee member board who's not handling their affairs and the wife at home. But because they are a big person, we change scripture.
We keep quiet.
We tweet scripture. And as a church, that's one of the things we need to do. Research scripture and say, what does scripture say about the practically so? How do we, some practical things we can do better. Empower ourselves with how to practically support survivors. There is survivors. How do we move in? Do an outreach or start praying intentionally for youth at risk.
Yeah.
I mean, just to look at the Science Research Council, when they did their stats a couple of years ago, but how many young people sleep in the streets of South Africa? I was shocked. When you have hundreds of thousands of young people sleeping on the streets, then I'm saying, Auntie Jeff, what are you doing? And sometimes it says, when I close my gate and my double door garage with my wife and 3 kids, our dog and cat, God has blessed us. Hallelujah. We sleep.
Yep.
And then we are saying, but why are we not part of what's happening outside?
Yeah.
Why are we not speaking, advocating for those that are outside?
Why aren't we part of the solution?
Amen.
Sure. That's really interesting. Now, any parting words, Baba?
I'm challenging about that as men. I'd like to encourage my brothers, my our data is the positive fathers there who can be social fathers as well, to step up as positive givers and model the healthy relationships to our children, and let's foster companionship and amplify the voices. Like I said, kibela phezukwendlu. Let's make the noise and work for justice and represent how Christ wants us to do things in speaking in his word. He said, I came for the weak, for the poor. And people are struggling in those areas. Why aren't we finding ourselves digging around those areas? And that's how we're supposed to find ourselves, the kind of work doing.
Wow. I don't know if you have the context, but I loved that concept of the what do you call it? The father...
Social father.
Yes, but also there's that social media father, the father coach, father's meta coach. Yes, please.
I advise Abalaleli just to go into your WhatsApp. The number is 060-058-2107. You just throw hi and then follow the prompts. Conversation starts. Last week, I went to Father's Matter coach, and I asked the question about my 14-year-old, but I tapped it to 16.
Okay.
And I said, how do I do 1, 2, 3? It was amazing.
Wow.
Because he does things at 14, and I'm shouting, and the answers from coach were funny. Like, when you want him to be like you.
Your age.
1, 2, he cannot think like you. 3, check his feelings and his interest. Yes, you are guiding. Allow them, though, to be. And it's those kind of things. And yeah, I challenge people to go into the, even a mama, go to this WhatsApp Father's Matter coach. It's good.
I said, Umam Vigila would say, even mommies, yeah, especially single mommies that are trying to deal with children, trying to figure things out, there's a lot to learn. I'm glad, Mina, because you remember the late Wabs Tolle used to say, so that man is without excuse. So that no one is with an excuse, guys. Yeah. There's such platforms.
No excuse, please.
So that man is without excuse. Thank you so much, Bob Jeff. We'll do this again next week.
Definitely.
Thank you so much.
Thank
God
you
bless.
To you. Bless you too.
Give your faith wings. Explore life with 657 AM.